This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wa Usalli Wa Usallam Ala Sayyid Al Awaleen Wa Akhireen, Nabiyana Muhammadin, Wa Ala Alihi Wa Sahbihi Wa Barak Wa Sallam. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the Worlds, and peace and blessings be showered upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the Master of the First and Last, and upon his companions, his family, and all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah. To the Day of Judgment. As to what follows, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again for another day in the month of Ramadan. And we pray that these hours that we spend and our families and our communities and the Muslim world will not be in vain. And it is of critical importance for Muslims today to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are going through trying times. We are going through times where the events are changing daily and where truth is being exposed from falsehood. And this is one of the beauties of the month of Ramadan, because in that month, not only is the world going through changes, but Muslims, because of the fast, have been given an opportunity to clearly see what is going on around them. And this month, as Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 185, in telling us, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ, that this month of Ramadan is the time in which Quran was revealed as a guidance to humanity and clear evidence to separate truth from falsehood. And so this book, no matter whether human beings benefit from it or not, it is a revelation. And it has clear evidence within it, separating truth from falsehood and giving us an entrance into the revelation. And in order to get the full benefit from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholars have shown us that it is crucial for us to look at this book on different levels. That in our relationship to the book, that we should have three qualities, three ways of approaching Kalamullah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these three are tahsin tilawatihi, wa tadabbur ayatihi, wa itba' awamirihi. And these three areas is, number one, to beautify its recitation. And alhamdulillah, we are blessed with this in our masajid. Here in the GTA and many parts of the world. So the beautification through the rules of Tajweed. And also, secondly, when we beautify it, that's not enough. The second level is Tadabbur Ayatihi. And that is to reflect upon its verses. Reflect upon the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the book. But that in itself, although it is of crucial importance, that is not enough either. Because the third level is that we should follow its commands. And so it begins with an expression of the word, a thought about the word, and then actions based on the thought. And without the complete motion around the book of Allah, we will not be getting the benefit that we need, especially in this crucial situation that we find ourselves in the world that we are living in today. And in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 41, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a very crucial concept. And for me, this has become very important because one of the issues that we see today as Muslims living in a society is that many of the practices that are considered to be normal are actually corruptions. They're forms of what we call fasad. And the more we go toward the day of resurrection, is the more we see this fasad or this corruption coming to the surface. We find it on all different levels. We find fasad in a spiritual sense, that people are going away from the belief in the Creator, and atheism is on the rise. Also, the people who claim to be religious in many of the main religions do not actually practice the religion in its totality, but they take a piece of it, right, and they throw away the other part. And so the founders themselves, the names of the founders, are actually being defiled by the actions of people who do not implement the practices themselves. So on a spiritual level, you will find amongst many people, especially in the age of social media, the age where people spend a lot of time online, and they're watching the YouTube and watching the programs. And when that, as a result of this, when they return to the material world, the real world, they find a vacuum. They find something's missing, because the world that they have immersed themselves in is not realistic. It's not real. And so there is what could be called a spiritual vacuum. A spiritual vacuum. And that is where, many people find themselves at today. On an economic level, and the economy for many people is really the bottom line, what has been shown clearly is that although we have developed very high technology in terms of the distribution of wealth, and there's a lot of wealth now on earth, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And it is going to insane levels in terms of the amount of wealth that is being accumulated in the hands of a few, and the amount of people who are actually suffering in the world when there should be no need for suffering. And so fasad in the economic sphere. In the social sphere, there is a lot of corruption. Of course, there is moral corruption in terms of the moralities that the revelation has brought through the lips of the great Anbiya, the great prophets. There is moral corruption. And that moral corruption is trying to be propagated through global technology as being normal. So the more corrupt you are, in some places, is the more normal you are. The less you are morally corrupt, the more you want to follow revelation, is the more strange. See the rise of drugs, the rise of the use of alcohol. And they have found that opiatic drugs, because before opium, people would only smoke opium itself. But now they have taken the chemicals from the opium and put them into heavy drugs, not only the morphines, but you know, many of the drugs that people take. And now they've released startling information that the majority of people in America and that's probably Canada as well, who are like 55 years old or over. The greatest killer of our elderly people is drugs. It's opiatic drugs, where people are literally taking drugs to ease their pain and to ease their mental anguish, and they overdose. They take too much, because the body can only take so much of these opiatic drugs, and so they overdose and they die. This is the biggest killer. This kills more than the terrorists, right? This kills more than diseases. It's drugs. And the use of alcohol and the effects of alcohol in people's minds, the effects of alcohol in the community, it's a horrendous thing. And they have found that alcohol, and Canadian doctors found this, that alcohol is actually more harmful to a person than heroin and cocaine. Alcohol. Because alcohol not only affects the mind and the body when the person is drunk, but also they're driving, they get in accidents, the violence in the family, violence on different levels. In some countries, like in the United States, violence with the police force on people, gangs, one against another. And so alcohol is really wreaking a major havoc in society itself. Gambling. Gambling is another form of economic facade, because it's a fool's paradise, where people think if they play the lottery or if they go to the casino, that somehow they will be saved from the material world. And of course, that the rise of gambling goes along with inequality. Because the more people who don't have and who need, they will depend upon the gambling to survive, because they don't see anything else in this world. And so they will make sure that they buy their lottery ticket. They will go to the 7-Eleven and whatever. They will like constantly spend their money, of all their money, hoping that somehow a savior would come and they could come out of this mess. On a political level, corruption is sweeping the world, in that the leaders of the world, for the great part, and not all of the leaders, but the majority, the overwhelming majority of the leaders, are actually working against their people. They're not working for their people, but they're actually working against it. And that includes the Muslim world as well. We may be worse than even the non-Muslim world in terms of what the leaders are actually doing with the people. And it's only a few of our leaders, you know, who are rising above the surface and you know, trying to implement some kind of Islam. But in the Western world, we see the rise of the right-wing, racist, xenophobic organizations. And it's on the rise. It's something that's been bubbling underneath the surface, but it is a corruption. It is a complete corruption of the political system. And probably the clearest case of that happened in the United States itself in the last election, when the person who won the election actually got less popular votes than the one who lost the election. And both candidates were hated by the people anyway, the majority of the people. But the ones who did vote voted for the one who lost. But out of corruption, again, out of facade, the winner became the person who is the most hated, probably the most hated president in the history of the United States. So this is a form of corruption, when the leaders become the most vicious of the people and the least connected to the average people on the ground. And this corruption has been encapsulated in verse 41 in Surah Ar-Rum. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah said very clearly that corruption has appeared on the land and the sea because of what people's hands have done. And we will make them taste something of what they have earned in order that they would return to the path. So this verse is telling us, it says, ظهر الفساد, that corruption, it has appeared on the land and the sea. And you can see it on the land. We can see physical corruption on the land. Literally, pollution is fasad. It's a corruption. And we see it, polluted rivers, polluted atmosphere, polluted food, polluted water systems. Unbelievable what's happening with the water of human beings. And we see that that now the majority of mammals and birds have actually become extinct. The majority of the creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and put on this earth, human beings have actually killed them off. So human beings have become really more closer to a virus than anything else. Because the best thing that we can do is destroy life, as opposed to following the revelation. The revelation would actually bring us back towards saving life. And so this is where the verse is saying that corruption is there on the land, it's there in the sea. You see the fish dying in the oceans. You see the coral reef outside of Australia, they call it the Barrier Reef. Now maybe 75% of the Barrier Reef is bleached. It's white, there's no more life left in the Barrier Reef. And it's a very serious thing for the oceans. Underneath, in terms of maintaining the life in the oceans. And so that is a corruption. But the verse continues and it said, but we will make the people who have done this, we will make them taste something of what they have earned. They got to taste it. So literally, human beings are tasting the fasad. It is coming out economically, with the recessions that happen in the countries, economies being destroyed. It comes out politically with the inequality in society and the viciousness in leadership. We're literally tasting it. And probably one of the clearest examples of the tasting of the corruption happened with the Fukushima nuclear plants that were destroyed in Japan, the tsunamis. And then people literally were tasting the nuclear fallout in their food. So in some areas, before you buy food, you got to test it with a Geiger counter to see what is the level of nuclear waste in the food. So you do not take in something that will eventually destroy your body. So this is a corruption. This is a corruption. But the verse is saying that humanity will taste this in order that humanity would return to the path. So the whole exercise that we're going through is a cycle that we've gone through as human beings in the past, historically in the past, and that cycle is to return to the path. But in order to return to the path, we need direction. And that direction, as we have learned in the verses surrounding Ramadan, it has come with the Quran, Hudan linnas wa bayyinat min al-huda wal furqan. That it is guidance to humanity and clear evidence. It's clear. It'll separate truth from falsehood. So, the Qur'an, being Kalamullah, needs to be carried by human beings. And the human beings who are entrusted with this are the Muslims. So it's literally on us. So the Muslim Ummah that has stretched across the earth now, we've reached the four corners of the earth, far in the north Arctic zones, deep in the south, deep in the jungle areas of the world, in the deserts, on the mountains, the Ummah has stretched, right? The message is there. And no matter what happens politically in our countries, there are still people who are reading the Book of Allah. That message is spreading. There is more and more human beings who are reading this book and trying to have a relationship with the book. And so the solution to the facade is there. And so it is natural. You look on a spiritual level, we have been blessed with the antidote, the cure to atheism, which is pure tawheed. We're blessed with it. We have been blessed with the cure to the corrupt economic systems, right? And that is a system which is based upon interest-free economy, right? Non-exploitation system. That's what we represent. We have been blessed with a political system which is based upon merit. It's supposed to be meritocracy, where the one who leads is the best of the people. Not a royal family or a central committee, right? Or somebody who wins the election in America and has the less amount of votes, right? That wouldn't be right in a meritocracy, right? You would want to get the person who's the most qualified for the position. Yet, you know, and this is the clearest example why I use south of the border, the person who takes over as the president has no experience in politics. He's got no experience. He doesn't know how to run a country and even failed in his own businesses. But yet he's put into that position. So the system that we're talking about is the opposite of that. The system that we're talking about is the opposite of the moral corruption. Our system is focusing on families, bringing male and female together instead of separating us, taking us away from drugs, taking us away from the use of alcohol, taking us away from gambling, right? It will also take us away from these opiated drugs, right? We have a more holistic way of curing disease. It's not just use a drug, right? Number one, our fasting, right? Our lifestyle is part of the cure. And even things like the black seed that the Prophet ﷺ left to cure, when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Alaykum bi habbati sawda, fa innaha dawa'in min kulli da illa al-maut." So he said, take the black seed. It will cure everything, all diseases except death. That's a big statement, right? It's going to cure all diseases except death? How is that possible in the black seed? Studies were done on the black seed and found out that what the black seed does is that it strengthens your immune system. It strengthens your immune system. We have a defense mechanism in our body, which if your immune system is strong, if you have the right vitamins, right, you have the right lifestyle and your immune system is strong, most of the diseases that come across you will not affect you. All of us are being affected in one way or another. Viruses are around us. Diseases are around us, but you'll be surprised to know that there are white blood cells fighting off infections. You know, our immune system is strong. Even while we sleep, we don't even know what's going on. But when the immune system breaks down, then every disease can hit you. And that was the essence of, remember, HIV/AIDS, right? AIDS. The HIV/AIDS crisis. Right? It's not like bubonic plague. What AIDS does to you, it destroys your immune system. So the thing that actually kills the person is not AIDS itself. That doesn't kill you. What kills you is that your body can no longer fight off disease. Can no longer fight off disease. And so the person will get 3 and 4 diseases at the same time. Your immune systems are down, right? Everything will come in, and then the person will die. But they're not dying necessarily from the AIDS itself, right? Because it is, you know, an acquired immunity deficiency syndrome. That's what AIDS means, right? So the black seed is the opposite. The black seed strengthens your immune system. Think about this. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, take the black seed, right? Alaykum bihabbat as-sawda fa innaha dawa'in min kulli da illa al-maut. Take it. It's going to fight off every disease. See, people didn't realize that until recently when Muslim doctors studied the black seed and they found out what it is it does. So it's not a special pill against one disease or another. No, it's a strengthening of the immune system, your defense mechanism, and so you will be able to fight off all the diseases. You'll be able to fight off everything. And so, within the prophetic lifestyle, there are cures. There are cures for us in halal eating, in the eating of halal foods. People think, I just eat halal because it tastes good. It's not just that. The blood has been drained out of the meat, right? The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been proclaimed. And so that food can be a source of sustenance to you, right? And blood, which in many cases is carrying, many of the deficiencies and the corruption in the body, is gone. It's drained out. So you're eating halal, right? You're staying away from alcohol, staying away from taking drugs, right? Not involved in gambling. So economically, look at you. You're not involved in gambling. You're away from pornography, right? And if you're fasting properly in the month of Ramadan, then the fast is not only just a physical fast, right? It's not just staying away from food and drink, but it's also a fast where your eyes are fasting, right? So by our eyes fasting, we should be avoiding pornographic things, evil things coming over the media, right? So you're clear in your eyes, right? Your ears need to be cleared. So any of the evil sexual-based music, right? Any of these things driving you to do crazy things, right? Would also be rejected by the fasting person, okay? The mouth is fasting. So the mouth should not be swearing, right? Insulting people, carrying scandal and backbiting, right? Any of these things. So the mouth is also part of the protection. The hands, fasting. So the hands are actually not used to hurt other people. It should not be raising the price, right? We should not be involved with the strength that Allah gave our hands to use it against people, right? So when you see so-called Muslims moving on other Muslims, right? That's the opposite of what Ramadan is. That's the opposite. And so therefore, the fasting person now is away from the fasad, the corruption, right? And this is a crucial concept for us now. The fasting person also would not be involved, or the Muslim person would not be involved in interest and usury. And this is a big issue. It's one that's not spoken about that much. But it is a hidden part of the problem. And that really one of the key issues that Islam presents to the world today is not just making prayers, is not just growing a beard, is not just wearing a nice thobe, Right? It's more than this. Because plenty of people have beards. Beards now, go downtown, you see people with beards, right? In Philadelphia, Islam is spreading into the tough sections of Philadelphia, right? What we call Philly. And there's gangsters down there. And one of the Muslim brothers, I was at a program, the brother went to get a haircut. And he went into the barber shop. And one of the biggest gangsters was there, tattoos, right? He's a gang leader. And so the barber was cutting his hair, and he went into his beard. And so the gang leader said, no, leave this alone. This is my sunnah. Sunnah. He called it his sunnah, right? This is a gangster, right? He said, leave my sunnah alone. Right? So even on the streets, right, there's an imp. So it's not about a beard, right? Although it's part of our deen. It's not about a thobe, right? Because the Pope has got nice thobes, right? You ever see the Pope? He's got some nice thobes. Right? So it's not about your jalabiya or your thobe. What it is the opposite of the facade. And remember, the facade on the economic level, the facade is the interest and the usury. Our system is going to oppose that. The facade on the spiritual level is going to take you away from the belief in one God into the belief in many gods and worshiping yourself and other things. Our system's going to take you away from that. The facade on the social level is going to affect you to be involved in magic and all the other different practices. Our system's going to take you away from that. The facade on the social level will also take you toward the drugs. Our system's going to take you away from that. And so naturally, we become an obstacle to the perverters or the purveyors of corruption. Mufsideen. The corruption makers will see the increase in Muslims and the practice of Islam and the reading of the Quran as a problem. They're going to see it as a problem. And so therefore, you get a reaction. So the reaction coming on, the Islamophobia that we find coming on, hitting us, it's a natural thing. Do not think there's something special to us, that we're doing something wrong. You know, we used to say in America, when we struggled against the political society and revolutions, we used to say, you know, if you're under attack, that means you're doing something right. You're not doing something wrong, you're doing something right, because the shaitan will, iyadhu billah, and his forces will attack what is good. And so the fact that so much is now being pushed onto the Muslim world, so much is being pushed onto us, is because I believe, and Allah knows best, we are close to a major change. We're close to something big that's about to happen, right? And we're all lined up, right? We are in place for this. We are in place. Our countries have natural resources. We have economy. We have soil. We have strategic position, right? It's there. We have youth. The majority of Muslims today, 60%, are under 25 years old. Right? We have the Quran, we have the Sunnah in the original form. It's here. Guidance is there. So the potential is there. All the elements are there. And so those who want to purvey the corruption, right, they will naturally they will fight the corruption, and they will use fitna. And a fitna is another term which is a trial. It's a temptation. A fitna could also be a bala. It could be like a punishment. It could be a calamity that strikes us. And so the fitna, you know, hitting us on all different levels, it's for a reason. There is a reason why it's hitting us. Because the intensity of the fitna on us is going to make us wake up ourselves. And also, it's going to put us through the test. And inshallah, it will bring to the surface our leadership. It'll bring to the surface. And if you see, the word fitna actually is used from the root of the word, is how you purify metal. You purify metal with heat. And by the metal going through the heat, then the corruption comes off it because of the heat. And you find this many times, things boiling, right? The corruption comes out of it. So it's through the intense pressure, it's through the heat that the good part rises to the surface. And so this is literally what is happening to us now, that we are in the barrel of decision. We're in the barrel of decision. And this is where the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so crucial and so key to us in this time that we have the three levels of the relationship to the book. Remember, tahseen tilawatihi, wa tadabbur ayatihi, wa itba' awamirihi. Three levels. Read it in a beautiful way with tajweed, right? Think about it. Reflect on the book. And finally, follow its commands. So it's no longer enough just to hear it read beautiful, and the Quran reader reads, we say, Allah, Allah. And we love that recitation. But we're not thinking about what's being read. We've got to think about the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has actually given to us. And then, once we think about it, and have an idea what we're supposed to do, right, then implement. Put it into practice. And this is where the test is. This is where the book is clear. And you will see that the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they might divide up, communists, capitalists, east, west, but when it comes to Muslims really practicing, they're united. Okay? And we are under the test to see whether we will follow it or not. In Surah Al-Anfal, verse 73, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. So Allah told us, and those of the unbelievers are allies and helpers one to another. So unless you do this, there will be trials and discord in the earth and great corruption. Look what the verse said. Takun fil ard, it will say takun fitnatun fil ard. There will be a fitna in the earth, and there will be fasadun kabir, great corruption. So all those forms of corruption, the spiritual corruption, the social corruption, economic, political, it will be fasadun kabir if the believers do not unite, right, and become awliya. And so what is happening, and Ramadan is the time that gives you a clear vision. And you will see hypocrisy in front of your face, right? You will see who your leaders really are, right? From the ones who are actually, in submission to the enemies of Allah. It comes very clear, right? And this time, this year especially, is getting real clear to us. But the question is, what will we do? And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this month and blessed us with this fasting. That we make the fast more than just a physical struggle. Go for the higher level, right? Change the character, change the lifestyle, change the relationships, right? Go for the higher level so that we can make a change. The change can begin within us personally, It can affect our families. It can affect, you know, our masajid, our communities. We can have an impact on society, right? And hopefully, inshallah, it can even trickle up or down to our leaders. I wouldn't even say our leaders are up. They're actually below us, right? It will trickle down to the leaders, right, who are now like the scum of the earth, and trickle down to them, you know, that there's hope, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرِ الدُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. And so with this, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would enable us to continue on in this sacred month. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless the suffering people in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mercy on the children of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray that Allah would protect the dignity and the honor of the women of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect and guide the men of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we pray that Allah would raise up that righteous leadership in the Ummah to take us from darkness into light. And we pray that Allah would help us to be with them in this struggle for the light. And that Allah would give us that light as our last word to be kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.